We continue in John's Gospel. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Maybe you've seen the cartoon. It's one of Jesus' disciples is standing in front of the other two disciples, throwing his hands up in the air, shouting, "All I'm saying is we don't call Peter denying Peter or Mark ran away naked Mark. Why should I be saddled with this title?" One of the disciples on the other side replies, "I see your point, Thomas, but it's really time to move on." There's no doubt that Thomas gets a bad reputation for his response following Jesus' resurrection. Just reading the text, it didn't jump off to the page, didn't jump off of the page to me as clearly as seeing the interpretation of the story on the screen. It's a powerful reminder that Thomas truly didn't have the benefit of seeing Jesus in the same moment his fellow disciples did. I don't know about you, but I kind of admire that Thomas won't be shamed into believing, or shamed into at least keeping his unbelief to himself. Neither will he ignore what he knows in order to believe something that he doesn't yet know. In John's Gospel, belief is never a noun. It's always a verb. More than that, believing in Jesus means to be in relationship with Jesus. Some translations will say come to believe, some say continue to believe. For the record, there's equal manuscript evidence for both. But no matter the verb tense, the essence is the same. We are in a relationship with Jesus, and the purpose of what John writes is to nurture, to support, to sustain that relationship. Believing isn't about having the right doctrine. It's not about saying a creed. Believing is about relationship. If we see resurrection as a punch card for salvation or a stamp of salvific security, we miss out on one of the best gifts resurrection gives us, a gift that we can receive in this time and in this place. It's not just a future promise. Salvation for John is for the here and now. It's for that relationship that we have with Jesus in the present. Resurrection is relationship. It's a relationship that will never be broken, that will never be abandoned, that will never know separation, and that will forever be. Caroline Lewis fleshes this out for us a little bit when she says, "The reality is we live for and exist in relationships that aren't always life-giving. We have relationships that are on the brink of dissolving, that will eventually end because of every fault or because of no fault of our own." We might think about a relationship that's changed over time, a relationship that can't go back to the way it was before, a relationship that needs to change. But maybe it can't, and maybe in the end, that's okay. That's the nature of human relationship. We can exist in tension and frustration and grief because we're not sure how to accept a relationship that needs to change or that has changed. We can grieve our inability to feel like we know how to negotiate what that relationship needs to be in the future. You might think about a relationship that you have that's ended too soon. Maybe it was just a slow and steady fray. Maybe it was a sudden separation. It's devastating. It's devastating no matter what the reason, no matter what the cause. We deal in broken relationships. I think it's one of the hardest and one of the most real things about being human. But that's not the way God does relationships. I'm constantly amazed, not just in the Easter season, although it certainly brings it closer to mind, that God chose to reveal God's self in flesh and blood, in a son, in God's only son, to come and to deal in the messiness and the brokenness of human relationships. God gives us God's son, Jesus, to show us what true relationship looks like and means. But wow. About a hard way to do it. That's why the Easter story gives us such hope, because it reminds us that resurrection is relationship, the kind of relationship that will never be broken, that will never be abandoned, that will never know separation, and will forever be. That's the kind of relationship we have with God through Jesus. No matter how we may feel, we're doing for our part in that relationship. God doesn't let go. God doesn't give up. God takes even that brokenness and redeems it. That's what makes us resurrection people. That's why the resurrection matters. In resurrection, we have the power of a boundless relationship with the one who breathed life into us, the God who breathed life into all of creation. The kind of relationship that we have with God, it's the kind of relationship that can withstand doubts. It can withstand wondering. It's a relationship that's measured not in scorekeeping, but in moments of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness. It's the kind of relationship that doesn't promise us that everything will be easy, though I wish sometimes it did. But it is the kind of relationship that grants us time and time again peace. Peace be with you. Jesus says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. There's a congregation in Oakland, California that's living out their resurrection hope by saying Jesus' own words to his first disciples. They say it daily to the community around them. Peace be with you. On a Sunday morning, there are a half dozen people in the pews of a 40,000 square foot building. I think that's like 8 Heart of the Rockies. It's a huge building. It'd be easy to peer into the sanctuary right around this time on a Sunday morning and to be filled with a sense of hopelessness. Unless you noticed that when you came in the entry hall, there was this shelf that was full of books that were there free for the taking. Maybe you noticed the bin that was piled high with free clothing, the bulletin board full of information on ways to serve, scheduled events. Unless you also stop by on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday, and you happen to see the sanctuary, the chapel, the two large halls being used for conferences and music programs and plays and movie screenings. You might also notice some of the smaller spaces in the building too, that house offices and host small group meetings, common meals, and a variety of other peacemaking activities. First Christian Church was staring down death when they chose resurrection. And now they're in relationship not only with those who sit in their pews on Sunday morning, they're also in relationship with the 40 local nonprofits who are all committed to promoting peace, curbing violence, and advancing social justice in Oakland and the San Francisco Bay Area. Now they're in relationship with the 86,000 people that their mission partners served in the last year alone. Ernie Fields has been a member at First Christian Church for over 60 years. He's one of the church's trustees. He's seen the death of the original congregation, which at one time numbered over 1,500 people. And now he gets to bear witness to its resurrection as the Oakland Peace Center. The organizations that are part of the center are doing life-changing work, and we feel a responsibility to what God's plan is for his people, for all of us, Ernie explains. It's a space from which healing for the planet can spring. This is a journey, and the center is just one step. But maybe we can be a role model for other places as we seek peace in our time. Our high schoolers will get to participate in this resurrection experience this summer when they spend a week at the Oakland Peace Center at First Christian Church. At the end of the day, we can choose resurrection in our words, in our work, in our way in the world, because God chooses us. God chooses us time and time again. Thanks, God.